Good afternoon, everyone. I don't know if I have the best slot or the worst slot, but Helen earlier on said she was very nervous speaking in front of a room of clinicians. Well, so am I, Helen, and equally more so in front of speaking to you, Helen, a person living with dementia, because truly you're the expert, and so thank you for this morning. But I couldn't let the day go without a definition of what dementia is. And dementia itself is an umbrella term. And I don't know if any of you were watching primetime last night. Rose Henderson spoke at the very end, and she very openly shared her story about caring for her father who had dementia. And she said the first thing that they noticed as a family was that her father would start to write a check to pay the ESB bill and put it in the envelope. And he'd turn around to write on the envelope what it was for, he would have forgotten. So I suppose it does highlight the fact, even though when they say you meet one person with dementia, you meet one person, there is some commonalities that define dementia itself. And it affects how we think, remember, communicate and carry out everyday tasks. It is progressive and a reversible condition that can affect mood and personality. And I do say here it's a syndrome, and the reason I say it is a syndrome and use this definition is because we're talking, and I will be speaking about frailty here today, and the dementia is one of the syndromes that contributes to a frailty pathway. So I'll mention a little bit about that further on. Dementia itself is progressive in nature, and where there is a disturbance of memory, thinking, comprehension, language, learning capacity and judgment. And last night, Rose spoke about her father's frustration at developing early cognitive impairment. And again, it, as I say here, it can be commonly accompanied by deterioration in emotional control, social behaviour and motivation. So we are an ageing population in Ireland, and here in the Northwest, we have some of the highest numbers of people with dementia. Nationally, we have 55,000 people with dementia in Ireland, and Dr. McParland mentioned earlier on in her presentation about the family and her excellent slide showing all the different stages families are at. There's the families with the young children, the families that's caring for a much older person. So not only is there the 55,000 people with dementia, but as she correctly said, there's all the other family members that are affected by a diagnosis. There's 30,000 females in Ireland with dementia and 18,000 male. And of those people, as Helen mentioned earlier on, there's just over 4,000 people under the age of 65 in Ireland diagnosed with dementia, and there's 4,000 new cases each year. So frailty raises the risk of developing dementia by 3.5 times. And that's just some global instance of dementia. So I'm here today to tell you a little bit about the Integrated Care Programme for Older People, or locally we're known as the Integrated Team for Older People. And really, we were talking earlier on about collaboration and getting the views of the person with dementia and family carers. So I suppose this afternoon's session is a little bit about the health and social care needs. And this is where the Integrated Care Pathway came about. The National Clinical Programme for Older People and the Integrated Care Programme for Older People have come together to look at a cohesive way of developing and delivering care services across primary and secondary care, and from that to develop treatment plans and care plans that are individual for people. So the aim of the Integrated Care Programme for Older Persons, as I say, is to develop and implement integrated services and pathways for older people with complex health and social care needs, and shifting away from a delivery of care from the acute hospitals towards community-based, planned and coordinated care. And ultimately, the aim of the Integrated Programme for Older People is to improve the quality of life of people and to give them the opportunity and indeed the choice where their needs can be met, and often, more often that is in their home setting and in their communities. So within the context, people in Ireland aged 65 or older make up 12.5% of the population, and they utilise 53% of inpatient beds. Those aged 85 years make up 1.4% of the population, and again utilise 13.5% of inpatient beds. Currently, there will be an increase of 107,600 people. There'll be an increase of 17.3% aged 65 or over by the year 2021. And I think Dr. Foley earlier on acknowledged that, you know, we are an ageing population, and there'll be greater needs for services and awareness. There'll be an increase of 15,200 people aged 85 years and over by the year 2021. And currently, 4.1% of the population provide unpaired care who are over the age of 75. So those people themselves often have health difficulties and complex needs, and they're also trying to provide care. And patients aged 75 years or over spend three times longer in ED than those aged 65 years. And 50% of acute hospital discharges require nursing home support scheme or home care packages. And those aged 85 years or greater make up 85% of acute hospital admissions. So therefore, the Integrated Care Pathway program nationally aimed to look at how this care can be delivered in integrated fashion to reduce hospital admissions. And the site here in Sligo is one of 12 pioneer sites in the country. I myself have been on post since October, and Sheena Clarevy and Katrina Cox, an OT and physio, have joined me since January. So it's this integrated approach to care to look at these figures, see how we can make and improve the quality of life for the older person. So again, this integrated care program for older people. Locally, we debated over the name, and we called ourselves locally the ICPOP team, with Integrated Care Team for Older People. The ICPOP, as I said, is building on the work that came from the National Clinical Program for Older People in 2010. And the ICPOP works with national divisions, acute hospitals and CHOs at local and national level to drive a coordinated, person-focused approach to care. And from this is a 10-step ICPOP framework. I won't go through it all today, but it includes enablement programs, providing government structures. There was mapping of services, which has taken here place locally, and there is the service directory available, the setup of clinical hubs, and the provision of integrated care pathway teams. So the National Clinical Program for Older People in 2012 set out key recommendations for the establishment of specialist geriatric services to achieve measurable outcomes for frail older people. It was seen that it would be an end-to-end pathway for the patient on their journey from home through primary care to acute care and to discharge home. It would set out the design of the comprehensive geriatric assessment which we use, and that looks at the medical, psychological and social needs of the person and their whole functional ability, and from that a treatment plan is drawn up. And subspeciality services and interdisciplinary education areas, including frailty. And locally, there's the Frail Elderly Ward at Sligo University Hospital, where the MDT meet every Tuesday. And also, there's been the rollout of the Fundamentals of Frailty programme here and in Donegal. So the team objectives is to provide timely, efficient, rapid response service, to anticipate potential crisis situations and support planning, to minimise avoidable acute hospital admissions, to facilitate appropriate timely discharge, to prevent premature long-term care placement, and where long-term care is required, the aim is to expedite from the community. So our team locally is currently located at St. John's Community Hospital. The coordinator is Kira Kennellan. Katrina Cox is our occupational therapist. Sheena Kilrevy is a physiotherapist on the team. And there's three candidate AMPs, Mary Casey, Sophie Alcorn, and Aoife Kelly. And there's myself as a CNS in dementia, and Joan McGowan as a social worker. So this was my role within the ICPOP. People probably were reluctant to get diagnoses early in Ireland at one stage, but now I think it has improved somewhat. So there is that whole post-diagnostic piece, and I think Anna was speaking about it earlier, that post-diagnostic gap in information. So some of the information I would provide when I meet families include giving people that information at the right time, at the right point in their journey in dementia. And the whole thing of developing a care pathway so it's easier for people to navigate services so that they know what's out there, who to approach, who to be referred to, and who to be seen next. And currently, my referrals come from the Department of Geriatric Medicine and from the Psychiatry of Old Age team. And my, as I say, my referrals come to these two departments. So both diagnostic information, as we all know, early diagnosis allows for early planning for the future. And again, as Dr. McParlin said earlier on, it's so important to live in the now, but there is, when we plan, we need to do some planning for the future. And it's always very cognizant of the fact when I meet families, and indeed the person is living with dementia themselves, they're always asking, what's next? What's this journey going to bring? Can you tell me? No one can tell you the journey, as Dr. McParlin rightly said, to live in the moment right now. But there is information that is key to be given to the person so that they can plan for the future. So information regarding diagnosis, it's overwhelming diagnosis to get, and people want to know about dementia itself, the different types. I constantly get asked, what's the difference between dementia and Alzheimer's? And even that, just to point out to people the different types of dementia, the different symptoms and clinical presentations that comes with each type of dementia. Assistance around navigating services. We had the exercise there at break, and we were all kind of brainstorming the different services in our areas. Often people with dementia can sit around a table and find that information out, so as to assist people to find that information and to give it to them. Living well day to day, and the importance of emphasising to people to build routines, and the importance of social interaction. And Eilish, I think all the projects today are so relevant and so timely, and how they help people to live well with dementia. Again, the whole area of legal and financial advice, especially around the enduring power of attorney, and for people to sort their financial affairs out. And again, local support groups, where they are and how they can be accessed. And assistive technology, I won't go into this too much, as Sharon will be presenting later on. And we have a wonderful resource in the technology library in Carrick and Shannon. So again, information is given on all types of dementia, the progression of dementia and the clinical presentation, medication information and management. People just often, I meet people at home, they just often come out the blister pack and say, what's this for, what's this for, what's this for? And even that piece of information is so relevant, and particularly if it's at a timely point when they have in their dementia. Delirium, I've highlighted in red because I suppose this is the key piece of information I would give to the person with dementia and family carers. And delirium accounts for 40% of admissions to acute hospitals. And again, many deliriums can be avoided, but sometimes they go undetected, but it's really important for people to be aware of delirium who have a diagnosis so that they can prevent an acute hospital admission. Education around care provision, strategies for coping with changes. Obviously, the diagnosis itself is a change in a person's life, but to help them, to provide the emotional support to help people cope with the diagnosis. And again, local supports and services through all stages. I suppose the services I'm familiar with here locally, the Alzheimer's Society provide dementia-specific daycare in Ahamore. The COGS Club is available there in Sligo for people in the earlier stage of dementia. There's also the COGS Club in Manor Hamilton and Carrick and Shannon. Memory cafes, Saturday daycare, generic daycares, and a whole host of services, including my own, that can go out and meet the person with dementia in the family care and give information. And again, palliative care information around pain relief, hydration, nutrition. And this all goes, but all this information needs to be timely, to be given to the person at the right stage on their journey through dementia. So therefore, my service is that when I meet a person, that they can make contact with me again at a later stage, when there's more pertinent issues or something else they need to find out about. So I'd just like to say how wonderful it is to be here today as a clinic and nurse specialist. Our team is new, so we're just evolving and starting up, and it's all very exciting times for integrated care in Sligo. So thank you.